I'm Scott Simon of Simon Says. This is bonus content with Jeff Riggles, online editor for Capital Newspapers in Madison, Wisconsin. We hope you enjoyed our episode earlier this week about online journalism, but the bonus content is going to be about personal journalism. It's still online journalism, but it's personal because Jeff, when he's not working at Capital Newspapers, has his own blog. It's called The 11th Frame, 11thframe.com, and it centers on something Jeff has done well for years, a professional bowler. He mixes the two in his spare time, pun intended, and he enjoys it very much. We'll talk with Jeff about this, but first we'll hear from our sponsor, doTERRA Essential Oils. Your wellness consultants are Jay and Kathy Kirsting. I have personal experience myself with doTERRA Essential Oils. Last year I was stricken with a heart attack, ended up in a hospital for a month and a half. And when I came out of a coma, I was groggy, I wasn't alert, and Jay Kirsting brought by a vial of wild orange essential oil from doTERRA. And day by day, I could see that I was becoming more alert. And it really did work. And it worked for Jay. That's how he got to be a doTERRA essential oils consultant. Here's his story about what doTERRA essential oils did for him.
I got involved because I was having a real issue, and this may surprise some. I spent a number of years in broadcasting, and I was under so much stress that I was unable to speak almost nonstop. That was me. I couldn't get a thought out. My wife reached out to a friend of ours and said, "Stephanie, maybe you've got something. Let's try it." She presented us with this essential oil called Balance. And all this one I did was I rubbed it on my hands and I inhaled it. So I would just put my hands over my nose and I would inhale it. And within a couple of days, I was back to speaking normally again.
So we're coming up on the holiday season. If you're looking for a great gift idea for someone, contact Jay and Kathy Kirsting for doTERRA Essential Oils. You can go to their website, jkirsting.com, and there's a link there to their doTERRA products. There's many of them to choose from. Take your time and get something for yourself. After all, if you're happy, everyone else is happy. Now we're going from standard journalism of you working at a newspaper to your personal blog, which is personal journalism. So tell our audience about it, because it really is a great story to tell.
Yeah, I was originally hired as a bowling columnist. And I did that until I went on the Pro Bowlers Tour. So I wrote bowling columns for, I don't know, six years. And then I went on the tour, and another guy was hired to do that. And when I came off the tour, I went on to the news side, and he was writing the bowling columns, so I never went back to it. And eventually they got rid of when he retired, they just didn't get anybody else. And neither paper really had, other than the occasional bowling story, a bowling thing. And then when we went online, I went to them and I said, "Look, on my free time," I told the Cap Times, "let me write this thing. I'm going to call it 11th Frame. Let me just write this. I'm going to do it on my own time. I'm going to work 8 hours for you guys, and then I'll do a list, and I'm just going to write the daily scores up that are in the paper. I'm going to write an occasional story about local tournaments, write a little bit about when I compete in things, and let's just see what we can drive traffic to." And needless to say, they were like, "Well, hey, if you're going to do it on your own time, try it." And then they saw the hits, and they were like, "Wow." And I said, "Yeah, there's a niche for this, and people will listen to what I say about it, at least around here." But it wasn't anything significant. So I did that from somewhere in 2008, 2009, I'd have to go look it up, until 2012. And Mike Flanagan encouraged me, "You got to take this on your own." And I asked the folks at the paper, and the significance of what I was doing in traffic versus the overall traffic was so minuscule at Madison.com that they were like, "Oh, sure, just make sure you're keeping it on your own time," which I do. Like today, I did a couple hours of my own work with stuff that came out, but I was there from about 3:45 until I left at 3 p.m. So I believe me, I put 8 hours in on my own job, or real job. and maybe an hour and a half or two on my stuff. So it always gets worked out. But anyway, I took that in 2012 onto 11thframe.com, the website, 11thframe.com, created as an adjunct to insidebowling.com, which is Mike Flanagan's site, because his tech guy, Brian Burkhart, created the technical stuff behind it. Brian's a former PBA guy. He was a doubles eagle winner in 2014, I think it was, in Reno.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And and he's created it, and I never had any intention. But as I went out there on my own like that, occasionally I started doing a few more serious stories and real hard news journalism about bowling. And I'd started doing a little bit of that when it was on Madison.com, but I had a lot more freedom when I was on my own site. And I didn't have to worry about, let's just stick to your fun and games or whatever. I don't know. No one ever said that to me, but I just didn't want to ever put myself in position, to where they would say, we don't really want that on here or whatever. And because I get into my own opinions of things and that sort of stuff. And I always just, so anyone, the same rules I follow as a reporter, editor for Capital Newspapers and Lee Enterprises, I follow all those same exact rules at 11thframe.com. This is real journalism exactly as it's practiced at a newspaper. The difference is that I at 11, think of 11thframe.com as a daily bowling newspaper for the United States, focused on Madison and Wisconsin. But I cover on a daily basis, it's like a newspaper. Whatever happens, I'm writing it up that day, and I'm also doing big, hard news stories that are timeless. I'm writing big feature stories that are timeless, and I have to be, a regular newspaper has news and columnists. Like, we have a reporter that covers the Green Bay Packers, and we send a guy up who's a columnist. The reporter writes the straight hard news game story that quotes what happened. The columnist writes you the column that tries to say, here's what happened, here's why I think it happened, gives you the analysis and the context. Well, I'm doing both of those things and occasionally writing a straight opinion story, an editorial or whatever, very rarely. So I'm giving you news. I'm basically producing a whole daily newspaper all by myself. So I am a columnist and a news guy, which is kind of uncommon, but when you're a one-man operation, that's all you are. And eventually, I got enough traffic, and I was devoting so much time to it, and I wanted to go travel to more events, but you go to the World Series of Bowling, you're doing plane tickets and hotels and all that. It's expensive. So several of my friends and colleagues, they said, you got to start charging. And I talked to Brian and Mike, and Brian came up, I can make a system. And that's in right now. It's the 3-year anniversary was September 24th, I think it was, 24th or 25th.
Time.
3-year anniversary,
okay,
of it being a pay site. And it's $1.99 a month, or $19.99 a year, which is $166 a month. So, you can be opposed to the concept of paying, but if you're saying it costs too much, I don't want to hear from you. If you want to tell me I don't pay for things online, hey, if that's your principle, fine. Then you don't read what I have. But don't tell me it costs too much when it's less than $2.
Yeah, that's a very reasonable price. And a little earlier this year, you went over 1,500 paid subscribers. That's the big difference, folks. He has 1,500 paid subscribers. That's just really, that's why I say it's one of the most successful blogs in the country for his sector. And one story that got you over that 1,500 mark was something we talked about before the commercial break, was you wrote a very lengthy story that would never have made print, because I swear it was almost as long as War and Peace. I mean, I think it took me a half hour to read it, and I said, man, this is great journalism. I said, thank goodness there's online, because it never would have seen the light of day in print. Tell us a little bit about what that story did for your blog in terms of attention and subscription.
Well, I made this, that story actually I made free, because
that's right. Yeah.
So it didn't directly cause anyone to buy 11thframe.com. No one had to buy it to read it. What I did see is, after a lot of people read it and it was so interesting to people, it got shared so widely, way more shares than any other story I've had, that many people who had no idea that 11thframe.com existed or what it was read that and then wanted to read some other stuff that I'd written and realized they had to pay, and I got sort of what I guess you would call peripheral subscriptions out of that.
Yep.
So I did gain, I think I was probably, and I'm trying, going off memory here, and forgive me if I'm not 100% accurate, but I was in the 1,300 range.
Right, you were.
Before that story, and now I've been over 1,500 now for, you know, many months, and that's kind of been my thing. I'm sure if I raised my price $1 a month, I'm sure I would probably not hardly lose anyone, because I think the people who are paying, they're going to pay. These are after 3 years, these are the people that see value in what I do, and I don't think if they paid an extra $10 a year would change that value perception in their minds.
Right.
Because
well,
they know that they get something from me that they don't get from any other bowling. There is no other media in the country that covers bowling the way I cover it, because the other ones that might do that all have deep economic ties to the major entities in bowling and just aren't going to. No one else in bowling is going to write the story that we're talking about here that I wrote about Chad Murphy. It's just not going to happen, because they're just too economically tied to Chad and USBC and BPAA and all the entities in bowling. So, and most of the, beyond them, the other, there just aren't a lot of other bowling journalists left anymore that have, frankly, the skills to put that story together. They're just not daily, there aren't newspaper journalists that cover bowling anymore, hardly.
No.
But the days of John Archibald and Dick Evans and Chuck Pisano and, you know, on and on and on, that actually were part of newspapers, Matt Fiorito, you know, they were newspaper men who covered bowling, and they had enough, you know, independence and were part of companies that would back them, and they could write what they wanted and covered it, you know, more like a sport. And that's pretty much disappeared from bowling, other than me, because I, you know, no one in bowling can have any leverage over me, because I have no economic reliance on bowling. If you took the 1,500 subscription $2 away from me, it doesn't impact my life. I pay my bills with my salary from and benefits from Capital Newspapers. So, you know, that's the main thing that Chad Murphy, I think, was most upset about, is he couldn't bully me.
He couldn't bully you, and you benefited with more readers and more subscribers. And that's today's secret for online journalism, is that you have to put out very high quality to still, content is still king, no matter what.
Oh, absolutely. I think in a nutshell, the things that I have is, number one, I'm a professional journalist with a long career and the kind of skills you need. I'm not a great writer. There's plenty of way better writers than me, but I'm a heck of a good bulldog reporter, and I know how to get a story when I want to. That'll get you that in 35 years or 40 years of working. And I have a knowledge of bowling that you will rarely find another professional journalist covering something who has the kind of inside knowledge that I have of bowling, from a Hall of Fame career, competing at every single level and winning at every level except the PBA Tour, where my highest finish was 7th. But I learned a lot in 2 years of failing mostly out there that helped me, you know. When I go talk to another top bowler or whatever source it might be that I'm interviewing in bowling, no one can bullshit me, because I, you know, I've been there in their shoes for the most part and know what they're talking about as well as they know what they're talking about, unless it's some super scientific, technical, or you know, business, you know, financial thing, which I don't cover a whole lot of. But in the bowling stuff itself, I know, I mean, I've done it all, so. I mean, I'm a shadow of the bowler I once was, and I'm not really competitive even in senior much anymore at age 56. But I've been in those shoes, and I know, I know when you're talking to me if you're bullshitting me or giving me the straight talk. And I have the knowledge to craft the context and analysis that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to brag. This is what my life has been, bowling, and my life has been journalism, and the two things come together here, and that's why I'm able to produce something of value that really no one else can provide out there. That and my independence.
Well, I could still read you every day online. I did see your regional win in Kansas City a little more than 15 years ago. Jeff Riggles, you're a newspaper man who bowls. Scott Simon, yours truly, Simon Says, is a newspaper man who uses radio and audio to get out his story. And hopefully someday my podcast is going to be as successful as 11th Frame. I'll give it a few more years. It takes a lot of patience. But I think if anyone would like to find out how a blog is successful, I think they should contact you, because you're a great example of how online journalism can make a difference, and you can have fun doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of what I do is a lot of fun, and I did it when I wasn't getting 1 cent for it, because I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed interviewing. I love going to the PWBA tour, the PBA tour, and talking to the best in the world and getting inside their minds. How did you do this? What makes you tick? That's just fascinates the heck out of me, whether you're Aaron Rodgers or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Jason Belmonte. And the bowling actually interests me more because that's been my life. And I wish if I didn't have the real job and I could afford it, I would be in a motorhome traveling from great tournament to great tournament. You know, the thing that bowling never had was the Associated Press embedded reporter back in the heyday, which I never understood. When bowling was as big as golf, they didn't have an AP bowling writer. And we always have had and still have an AP golf writer, a guy who travels with the tour All every right. week and writes about it. And I never did understand what, you know, why that didn't happen in the 1970s and 80s, why AP didn't do that. Bowling deserved it then, and I just try to provide a small amount of that now.
Well, Jeff, with the increased circulation you have on 11th Frame, does that mean you're going to be able to afford to come out here to Las Vegas a little later this year?
Well, for what events?
The Storm Seniors?
Well, I'm going to compete in the South Point Senior Shootout. I'm
okay.
entered.
All right. Super.
I'll be bowling in that. I like that one because, number one, it's Vegas, and Susie likes to go, and I like to go. And I love the format Ron Moore has, the World Series-type format. And, frankly, it's something I like bowling the senior tour, but I'm a donator when I've got to go against Chris Barnes and, you know, who's going to be there very soon, and Michael Haugen is there now, and all the Hall of Famers, Weber, Monticelli, Duke, Bowen, all those guys. There, you know, I finished as high as the semifinals, is the highest I finished in when I was closer to age 50. And I made a little run at trying to win and couldn't quite do it, much like my regular tour career. And the Ron Morris tournament's fun because I'm banging heads with other guys like me instead of just donating my money to the Hall of Famers, which is what I've come to at age 56. So it's one time a year where I can still maybe feel like, over a week, it gets the competitive juices flowing for 1 week, I guess is the easiest way to put it.
Well, you got me to retire, because when I bowl a regional in the same one you're in, and I'm looking over and you're like plus 100 and you're reading a book between shots, and I'm sitting there pulling my hair out, and that's the one thing I have over you. I have hair. and I have enough of it that I can pull it out, and I'm looking at that, and I'm like, well, I better think of something else to do in life than try to make money at bowling.
I used to read my Sports Illustrateds between frames because Jack Nicklaus said once in a story I read that he didn't burn himself out, he tried to only focus in the 20 seconds leading up to a shot and then on the shot. And after that, between shots, he would try to let his mind wander and not burn himself out by being grinding for 6 hours or 5 hours on a golf course.
Wow.
And I took that to heart.
I never knew that. I followed Jack. I just want to throw a funny story about Jack Nicklaus is that he wasn't the most humorous guy, but I think he still said the funniest thing I've ever heard, next to Dick Weber, saying that, hey, the Dick Weber line about maybe you remember it, after he bowled on the plane 30,000 feet in the air. I'm trying to remember it, and I used to use that as a quote, and I wish I could remember it. Maybe, but Jack Nicklaus, who was he's not a funny guy. He said this one time. Reporter asked him, says, Jack, why do you tee the ball so high? And he did. He teed it up like 3/4 of an inch. He goes, Through years of careful experience, I have found that air offers less resistance than dirt. So
that's good.
Yeah, so when you're reading Jack Nicklaus, you're reading the philosopher who won a lot of times on the Pro Golf Tour. It would have been really nice to have seen you have won at least one professional bowler's title, but I tell you what, still one of the great regional players of all time on the PBA, but you're even just as good, maybe a little better journalist than a bowler, and you're proving it with 11th frame and what you do at Capital Newspapers. Jeff, thanks for joining us. The next time I have you on, I want to talk about convergent journalism and what it means to people today. How's that?
Sounds like a good topic, and happy to join you.
All right. That's Jeff Riggles, online editor for Capital Newspapers, and he's the publisher of his own blog, 11th Frame. You can get that at www.11thframe.com. And especially if you love bowling, and a lot of you have bowled in your life, get back into the sport. I hope to as well. I'm Scott Simon. Simon Says, hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again from the greatest city in America, Las Vegas, Nevada.